My name is Susan Durden Lemesis.
And I'm Diane Canestra. I followed Susan as state president of the Daughters of 1812.
The blade of the sword is Damascus steel, and all the way down the blade of the sword is quite elaborate engraving. And, of course, we have the eagle head on the sword, and that is why it's called an eagle pommel sword. And the eagle head was a very important emblem during the federal time of the United States in and around 1800 to about 1820. The sheath of the sword is quite interesting as well, because in that is a little round disc, and that is the only known likeness of Daniel Appling. And then if you come down to the center of the sheath is the encampment of Appling and his soldiers. And in that you will see cannons, you will see the Indians, you will see the tents and the horses, and it's extremely elaborate. I think it's the most beautiful part of the entire sword.
Do we have any record of when people in Georgia state government, or really anyone, first said, hey, wait a minute, where's that Appling sword?
Yeah, it was like 1980s that somebody said, hey, whatever happened to that sword? And nobody could find any record whatsoever of the sword until about several years ago. One of the archive employees happened to be looking at an antiques book, and the sword was in there, and he recognized that that was the Appling sword. To make a long story short, it was determined that it would be more expensive to try to get it back through legal means than to pay the antique dealer who owned the sword the $100,000 that he was asking. It's valued at $250,000, but he wanted it to come back to Georgia, so he agreed to sell it for $100,000.
We mentioned the word covert before. That's probably a fitting term for what the two of you engaged in as far as actually going to retrieve the sword.
We were actually going to have a really nice presentation at Fort McHenry. Then the antiques dealer called and said, I'm going to be in Charlotte. Let's make it quicker.
Yes. 3 days to get the money together and the insurance to cover the sword and get ourselves to Charlotte.
As it turned out, we were in the hotel and the knock on the door came and we went to the door and there was the dealer and there was no sword.
Oh.
And
did you panic?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, there was a panic involved, yes. So I asked him, I said, well, where's the sword? And mm-hmm. he says, well, it's in the car. And I said, oh. You left it in the car? He said, don't worry, there's somebody in the car with it, so it's okay. But he had it in a gun case, and that's how he was transporting it around. The strange thing about it is the hotel we were going to stay in was the site of the Democratic Convention in Charlotte, and they had already started beefing up security.
Oh, and here's a fellow with a gun case in his car.
And so he decided that he would leave the gun case in the car because he realized the intrigue that would have resulted to him carrying a gun case in the hotel.
Well, and we said, of course, we can't turn over the check until we actually see the sword, because at that point the gun case was closed. So he put it on the back of the SUV and opened the case, and we were looking at it. And about that time, a car near us backfired, and we really panicked. I mean, my heart absolutely stopped. And I said, that's it. We're gone. Slapped the case shut, gave him the check, hopped in the car, and we were off.
Given the path the two of you and the sword have taken, what thoughts go through your head as you're looking at it through this thick glass window?
Well, I'm glad it's over.
Yes, I think that's my reaction too. We really expected that we would get a couple of very large grants when this all began, or that the donations at least would be fairly large. And it just didn't turn out that way at all. The vast majority of the money was $100 and less. So it gave that many more Georgia citizens the opportunity to feel like they were a part of this history.